In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
You are listening to GCN.
Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, of course, we have with us today a very, very special guest, a good friend, Bob Chapman, who's been at this game even longer than I have. And I've been at it for 44 years, and he's been at it a couple of years before I got started. And, of course, we like to talk about what's happening in the world financially. He is the editor of the International Forecaster, which is one of the most amazing documents, one of the most amazing newsletters. It comes out twice a week, about 25 pages I have to read twice a week. But it really gives you a view of what's going on and what's happening economically, what's happening politically, and certainly what's happening from a geopolitical point of view. In other words, not politically in our country, but from the point of view of the entire world. And it should be very obvious to anybody who is literate today that we are planning on expanding the war in the Middle East. And the Democrats are not going to do anything about it. Oh, they'll rant and rave. They even had a Senate vote which was against the president expanding the war, expanding the number of troops in Iraq. But it was a non-binding discussion. In other words, it was all showbiz. In fact, most is just smoke and mirrors, rhetoric over reality, trying to give you the idea they're doing something. Why would the Democrats have a majority? Why didn't they have a binding resolution condemning expanding the war in the Middle East? Because if you think that 20,000 troops are going to be able to solve the problem there, well, you're sadly mistaken. If they let the military do what they should have done initially and wanted to do, and go in there with massive force, probably 750,000 men or 1 million men, they could have secured. They could have secured Iraq. But we never went in to do that. We went in to destabilize Iraq and to produce a civil war and to create the chaos we have now, so we can justify staying there and of course increase the carnage and promote this hatred of Shia for Sunni, so you can play one group against the other. Do you remember in the 1980s when we got the Iranians to attack Saddam and Saddam to attack the Iranians, and we were financing both sides? That's what you do. You want conflict. You don't want a solution. When both sides are fighting one another, why are they too weak to be able to oppose what we're doing? And that's really what's known as power politics. Well, think of the implications, though. If we expand the war and we go to war with Iran, what's that going to do to the Muslim world? How many people are going to become Islamic terrorists because of their intense hatred of America? And the Islamic fundamentalist movement is growing, and it's really the original faith that's preached by Muhammad almost 1,400 years ago. And this is growing and prospering, and more people are joining this radical Islamic movement because of what we're doing. And our leaders know exactly what they're doing. We're creating the best enemy money could buy. Well, that is the background. Bob Chapman, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me again.
And now, if you disagree with me, you can...
I think you pretty much covered that, didn't you?
Okay. Well, anyway, it's such a tragic situation. Now, whether it be the Americans who are dying, or the Iraqis who are dying, or the Iranians who are going to die, I mean, does anybody out there in the audience really care, as long as it's not our son or father or brother maybe our sister who's dying over there. Well, you pick up the story because, of course, what I think we really have to analyze is what is this going to do to our country from a psychological point of view, from a moral point of view, and from a financial point of view. And you better start making preparations for the very, very difficult times that lie ahead. And as soon as we get back, I'm going to be quiet and let Bob Chapman do all the talking, which he does so well. Hang on, we'll be right back with Bob.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's 1 in 4 adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At researchedherbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Well, this is Dr. Stan Becker, the Genesis Communication Network, and those of you who heard the President's State of the Union message will recall, he said that things are really pretty good. I mean, we've cut the deficit to about $248 billion, dramatically cut it down to that level, that certainly unemployment is low, inflation is low, we've created 7 million new jobs, the economy is strong, and how would you respond to that, Bob?
Not in your wildest dreams.
All right, what's wrong with what the president said? After all, why did they cut the budget?
If you cut out the extra money that's in there, general fund via Medicare and Social Security, you'll have to add $200 billion, so you're up to $525 or $550 billion.
Don't forget about the price of the war. We don't include that in the $248.
Pardon me?
Don't forget about the cost of the war, because we don't include that in the $248 billion deficit.
That's right. So we're talking $800 billion.
Right.
Yeah, $800 billion. And the poor public doesn't know. They don't want to look beyond their nose, and they watch television, and I guess about 8 or 9% now read periodicals. So they just don't know what's going on, and they don't want to be bothered, and I think that's going to cost them big time. But the economy has been slowing now for a year, and good economists realize that. And the market in real estate has been slowing as well. You saw the figures that came out today on existing home sales and the price of homes. And the price of homes really don't reflect the true price because they're giving a lot of discounts. And they're running 15-20%. But that'll stop here in the next year. Now, one of the interesting things here is that today we had a 487 close in the U.S. $10 Treasury. And that means that the mortgage rates, which are based upon that, are going to go up another, about another 10 points next week. Now, I haven't seen Fannie Mae's figures, but I did see the Mortgage Bankers Association figures, which were 622. So we're looking at 630 or higher in the coming week, and I would guess that Freddie Mac will probably come in around 626. So we're looking at over 630 again on the fixed.
Now, what you're talking about, that you're talking then about the interest rate of six point three percent.
Yes, that's correct,
right.
And that is going to stop a lot of refinancing in homes. And what's happening to cause that, finally, is concerted selling of treasury paper by oil producers whose income dropped precipitously from $78 a barrel down to $52 or $3. And I figure that if they continue to do what they're doing and oil stays at that level, say, for a year, they'll have to sell about $100 or more billion worth. They've already sold over $10 billion worth, and so they'll have to do another 100. Now, I don't expect oil to stay there, but the point is the pressure is on, and even $30 or $40 or $50 billion in sales will hurt the U.S. Treasury, because they're going to have to find somebody to buy that paper. In the meantime, the interest rate goes up, and that's why they're going up. When people sell the bond, the yield goes up, the interest rate goes up. And so consequently, the mortgage rates are going to go up. Now, when the mortgage rates go up, not only does that inhibit refinancing, but it inhibits the purchasing of homes. And that's going to finally, I think, break the back of the economy. Only 10% of professionals now feel that interest rates are going to go down between now and next April. I predicted last June that they would not go down prior to January, if at all. I figured that they would keep them the same, unchanged, at 5.25%, where they are presently. But the problem with that is the economy erodes because of that interest rate, and at the same time, the dollar erodes, and it's only a matter of time before they run into problems anyway. So it's a delaying tactic. So our president doesn't speak about those things because he doesn't understand them. And a more articulate and a brighter light would tackle that sort of thing and tell Americans, you know, where we were going and what we're going to try to do about it. The unemployment figures are starting to move higher. And
now, what are they really?
Throughout the year.
What are the real unemployment figures?
My calculation is about 13.25%.
Well, they say it's, you know, maybe 3 or 4%, maybe four. Or five.
They're calling about 4.6 or 4.7. I can tell you with assurance that none of the government figures are true. They're all bogus. They are what they want them to be, and it's as simple as that. And that's the kind of world we live in today. Some of the European central banks are doing the same. England's doing the same. And England admits the 3% inflation, which they haven't had for many, many years. And we're calling inflation at 3.4%. England is increasing their money and credit over this last year, year on year, by 14.4%. Now, we're doing the same thing. So That means continued inflation at a much higher level that's being stated. And they're doing that to keep the economy afloat. So they raise the interest rates, but at the same time they create more money and credit. One offsets the other. So they really haven't done anything. It's a push. And most of that money is not being now spent by consumers because consumer debt is declining, particularly in durables. And although credit card debt has been continued to increase, but on a smaller basis than before. But the real money is going into from commercial banks to, and they are also gambling in the derivative and stock markets. It's going from there to investment banks, brokerage houses, derivatives, and also the hedge funds. Can start a hedge fund. A former Secretary of State who used to be a major party giver, that was her qualifications to be Secretary of State under Mr. Clinton, and she is now running a $500 million hedge fund. She can't conceivably know anything about the stock market other than a cursory grasp of what goes on there. And Richard Breeden is an attorney. He used to be the head of the SEC. He's got a $500 million fund. He doesn't know anything about investment either. So it's kind of a fad. And when you see things get faddish, you know it's time that there's going to be problems. And so I foresee problems in that area. But economically, we got the same drivel. And I cover it quite widely in the International Forecaster in Saturday's issue, which will be coming out on by email, and it's a long, a fairly long dissertation, it's the same tired old ideas that have failed, and Mr. Cheney and Mr. Bush are as arrogant as ever, and I'm just afraid, along with the Israelis, that they're going to get us into a third world war. Pravda said this morning that the United States is thinking about having sanctions against Russia because they sold them defensive missiles. So what the United States is saying is we in Israel want to attack Iran, and we won't have to put up with that. So you shouldn't have sold that to them so we can kill more of them.
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting. We've actually stationed a couple of squadrons of fighter planes in southern Turkey, so they'll be close to Iran. My understanding is that they're actually stationing tankers, for refueling tankers there in that same area, so they'll be able to refuel the B-2 planes that will be bombers that will be coming into the United States to attack Iran. Certainly they're anticipating there'll be a counterattack. That's why they're bringing the Patriot missiles into Iraq, the ballistic missiles, so that they will be able to prevent the Iranian missiles from doing too much harm to our forces there. I hope they work better than they did during the first Gulf War.
But they don't work at all.
I mean,
it's a scam. And you saw what happened in Israel. And the first thing, if there's an attack, the first thing, the retaliatory onslaught will wipe Israel out. Simple as that. And the Russians are going to get involved, and China's going to get involved, and we're going to have a third world war, which will be a true Holocaust. Half the people will die from radiation poisoning of one form or another. It is going to be awful. These people are insane. They're out of their minds.
Well, you know, I think the tragic thing is the American people are out of their minds, too, because with all of the signs there that something big is afoot, and with the recent legislation we had that allows the president at his own discretion to declare martial law in America, and of course this legislation that allows them then to use the military troops against American citizens, and even liberal Senator Patrick Leahy has talked about this Defense Appropriations Act that was passed right along with the Military Commission Act, and said this encourages the president to have martial law. It's amazing to me how few people are making the preparations so they'd be able to survive if suddenly there was chaos in America. They're not laying in the food. They're not getting the Berkey water filters. They're not getting the health supplies and the medical supplies and the water storage facilities and the things like that they need so they would be able to function and function independently, at least for a time. I think people say it can't happen.
Yeah,
I don't
you're
want
absolutely
it to happen.
Right, and we even see it in the markets for gold and silver related assets. There's a coterie of people involved, and that's it. Now the public will get involved, but most of them too late. You know, the last time around was between 77 and 81.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages, and Wrist Ease provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, wristease.com. Once again, wristease.com.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Bob Chapman. And, of course, Bob, as you look at that market today, looks like times could never have been better. Why, that Dow Jones up over 12,600? I'm sure a lot of people are just sitting there smiling and thinking how well their stocks are doing.
Well, they are living in a fool's paradise. And the reason why that market is where it is twofold. Number one, there is a sea of credit out there. And hedge funds are borrowing at 10 and 20 and 30 to 1. In other words, they put up a dollar and they borrow 30. And you get caught going the wrong way, and you got a real problem. A lot of them are involved in derivatives and mortgage packages and goodness knows what. The amount and number of investments of great risk that they're involved in is endless. And so that's why the market, in part, is where it's at. The other part is the Working Group on Financial Markets, which is the United States government, and the Federal Reserve. They are both manipulating the market. Every time it gets weak, they step in and try to keep it from going down. And they have trillions of dollars at their disposal. So that's why the market has stayed up. But there will come a time, and I think we're approaching that time very shortly, where the market is going to come down. And when that happens, interest rates are going to move higher. And also, gold and silver will move higher, along with commodities, which has started to make another turnaround. And if we were to have a war with Iran, and it was only limited to Iran, all those things would go down except gold, silver, and commodities. If we have a world war, all holes are barred. I mean, goodness knows what can happen. And that's why it's so important to be involved in gold and silver-related assets.
Well, certainly, you know, as we begin to look and see what's going on, certainly in reply to the president's speech, Senator Webb spoke out and you know, commented on the president's statement that the economy is so good, and he simply pointed out that our major manufacturing plants are moving overseas. And, of course, one only has to realize that the two major sources of manufacturing in the United States today are the automotive industry and the housing industry. The housing industry is beginning to really shrink at a very definite rate in many of the homes, the condominiums, they just can't sell. But the automotive industry is certainly a basket case as Ford and Chrysler and General Motors are moving overseas. And the average person just can't see what's happening. And as they, of course, shut down, the good-paying jobs are going. And when the president says we've got 7 million new jobs, yeah, but what sort of jobs are they? And are there really 7 million new jobs there, Bill? Bob?
No, there isn't. And they're lying. And the quality of jobs are dreadful. The average is probably around $10 to $11 an hour. And, of course, those are poverty wages today. And not only has that been caused by a slowing economy and a decrease in wages, an increase in inflation, and, of course, as you touched upon, free trade and globalization, which is ripping the heart right out of our country. And on top of that, you have illegal immigration. And that is really a nightmare because all of the people at the bottom of the totem pole who receive the lowest wages are getting kicked out of their jobs and have been for the last 5-6 years because they have people who will come in and work off the books, no benefits whatsoever. And if the American is working for $8 an hour, they'll work for $6 and so on. And the same thing with the construction industry. I know there's been a major move by Mexicans back to Mexico over the last 6 months because they can't find jobs. And they've been laid off in the construction industry, and they were making $15 an hour. So I would imagine that the American counterparts previously were making $20 or more an hour. And corporate America is really to blame as much as the politicians for the disastrous consequences of the movement of illegal immigration, because they're willing to hire these people. And, of course, they say, well, we can't compete unless we do that, and the government won't stop these other people, so we've got to do it. And it's sort of like a dog chasing his tail, and something's got to stop. And nothing's going to be done on immigration. People think there is, but not until after the next election. And the reason why is the Democrats want to win the presidency, and they want to get a bigger majority in both houses. And they know that 80% plus.
Hold that
thought.
He'll be right back in a moment.
Sure.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. We also do credit restoration. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024, and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing crisis, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Bob Chapman. We're talking about what's really going on financially, and contrary to what the government says, the economy is doing great. Why, unemployment is much higher than he's telling us. Inflation is probably somewhere 8 to 10%, maybe even higher. Certainly, these jobs, we do not have 7 million new jobs, and the jobs that we have created are not good-paying jobs because they're all moving overseas, or they're bringing other people in from other countries who can do the work, and they'll do it for a lot less money. People have to understand there's an organized, orchestrated, coordinated effort to lower the living standards of the people of this country, and, of course, eventually to destroy the middle class. And, of course, as Senator Webb said in response to President Bush's remarks last night, well, you know, it used to be that the CEOs of companies made maybe 20 times what the workers do. Today they make 400 times what the worker does. The worker has to work a full year to make what the CEO of many of the major corporations make in a day. And his inference was that was immoral. And even though he's a Democrat and I'm a conservative, I'm not sure I'm a Republican anymore, but I'm certainly a conservative, I have to agree with exactly what he's saying. When you take the moral foundation out from under a country, when there's no sense of responsibility towards your fellow man, you get into the problem where you are today. I don't believe the government should regulate it. I just believe we need moral people. And I don't see very many of them in either the Republican or the Democratic Party. Pick up the story, Bob.
Well, I think you're right. And as I was saying prior to the break, I don't think the Democrats are going to tackle immigration before the next election. And first of all, they want amnesty, and the public doesn't. And the public is over 80%. So that will make things difficult for them getting reelected. Secondly, they don't want to pass something that smacks in any way of being an extension of what George Bush wanted in the first place. So I see dawdling around and diddling and nothing happening on immigration until after the next election. And I just wanted to, you know, make that point.
Okay, fine. So basically, as we look and see what's happening, of course, it's been rather exciting this last week as gold and silver have been moving up very strongly. As silver up to almost 335 this morning, it looks like they knocked it down towards the end of closing down to what, about 1325, something like that?
Well, the close was 1336, up 18 cents in day. And silver was up $1.20 at 648.30. And they both traded higher earlier. And in the International Forecaster, I follow the market from about 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time through the entire day and give you the highlights of gold and silver and some of the highlights from some of the other markets.
Well, are some of the big boys beginning to get rid of their shorts in gold and silver that they've used to drive the prices down? Are they beginning to sense that something big is afoot, or what's really going on?
Well, I think you're right. They are, and I think also that the announcement earlier this week that the IMF is going to have the central banks separate the gold that they have leased from the actual physical gold that they have for reporting purposes, and that's going to change things immensely.
Could you explain to our listeners what you're talking about? Because the average individual doesn't understand lease gold and comparison to real gold.
Okay. First of all, in order to drive the price of gold down and not to be seen as a seller, what the central banks will do is they will go to a bullion house, as it's called, or an investment banker such as Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Deutsche Bank, etc. And they'll say, look, we want to lease you $1 billion worth of gold, and lease rates right now are 1.5%. So we're going to knock the lease rates down to about 0.02 or 0.03 or 0.04. So it'll only cost you $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000 to carry that position during the course of the year. And we know you'll pay us, so we're going to ship the bullion into your name, and then you can sell it into the market. And they call that leasing gold by the central bank to another party, which is usually a investment bank, and usually it's called a bullion house.
Yeah, but of course, the thing is, now the gold has been sold by the investment house.
Exactly, and the central bank has been heretofore legally carrying that on their books as being gold in hand, when in fact it wasn't. It has been sold. And so they're going to have to restate, and I don't know what the timeline on this is, but they are going to have to restate their positions, which tells me, if they're willing to do that, that they don't have hardly any gold left. And my guess is they probably have 5,000 tons out of some 30,000 tons left, and that's about it. And once that becomes public knowledge, gold will go bonkers because there's no overhang left.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole incredible story unfolds. Now, of course, when we see gold and silver moving up here over this last week, do you think that's an indication that the PTB, that's the powers that be, know that something big is afoot?
Yeah, I think that something big is an Iranian invasion. And it's not reflected in the stock or bond markets at all. I mean, the investment community thinks nothing's going to happen. The investment community thinks everything is going to be hunky-dory indefinitely. They're living in some sort of ethereal world that no human beings are allowed to live in. And sooner or later, the roof's going to fall in on them.
Well,
when the market starts down, it'll be tremendous. It'll be several hundred points a day.
If we did have an invasion of Iran, what would that do to the price of oil, do you think?
$100 or more. I think if they invade Iran, we'll get a world war on our hands.
Well, do you think could they just have an aerial attack, not put any troops in there, just drop a few bombs there, kill a few 100,000 Iranians, and then figure we can just go home and we'll all be friends again?
Yeah, well, first of all, with the defenses that they have in Iran, my guess is quite a few planes will be shot down. I think Israel will be devastated. I don't think they'll mess around with the troops in Iraq. I don't think they're overly concerned about that because they've got their hands full over there with the insurgents. And I don't think they're going to bother any other Muslim countries. And I think they'll take a terrible pounding and a lot of people will die, but we don't have the people to go in and occupy, and Israel doesn't either. And if the last conflict, the war that Israel began in Lebanon, is any indication, their troops are very defeatable, and they're outnumbered about 20 to 1.
Well, now, what
and
about
so
the stability of the other countries?
I see real, real trouble. It could be the end of the State of Israel.
Well, what about countries like Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Egypt, which have very unpopular governments, which the people would love to overthrow?
Well, people may within those countries do that. But, and then, you know, Russia and China both have long-term agreements. I mean, these agreements are over 25 years old with Iran, that they'll come to their aid in the event that they get attacked. And so I would assume that they will live up to that. And if that happens, I would assume that they both would retaliate upon the forces which were attacking. And then the U.S. would probably extend the problem by attacking Russia and China, and that means that U.S. cities would be devastated, as well as Chinese, Iranian, Russian cities as well.
Well, now, do you think that George Bush would do something that foolish just to try to save his reputation and his presidency and to rally the people behind him as they rallied behind FDR after he precipitated the Japanese attack on America?
I see no question that he'll do it. I think he's a rogue president. I think the people in the Illuminati, of which he belongs to, I think they've told him, we don't want you to do that. And I think he's a candidate for assassination by his own people. And so that may happen before he has the opportunity to go into Iran. So that would save the world a lot of grief, that's for sure. And my guess, if that is going to happen, it will happen during the months of February or March, if at all. It's only a guess. But he's doing what they don't want him to do. I don't think they want to do that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. I mean, the significant thing is we're almost into February, and March is a little over 6 weeks away.
Well, if I'm right, in my guesstimate, he doesn't have long to live.
Well, let's hope and pray that such a terrible thing doesn't happen, because it would certainly tend to destabilize our country. And a man I'm far more frightened of than I ever would be of George W. Bush is a man named Dick Cheney.
Well, you're absolutely correct, but who knows what's going to happen. It just that historically, people like that by their own people have been taken out. And I think there's a good chance that both of them will go.
But that
it's
would
only
even
guess,
be more frightening.
But, you know, history is what it is.
You know who would be the president if we lost George Bush and Dick Cheney?
Absolutely. The first woman president in the history of the United States, Nancy Pelosi.
President Nancy Pelosi. That's a frightening thing to contemplate.
Well, you know, it can't be any worse than what we get in there now.
And she might even then take as her vice president, because she could select the vice president. Another woman named Hillary Clinton.
Queen Hillary, yes.
Well, anyway, we're living exciting times. What's that old Chinese proverb? May you live in exciting times. And, ladies and gentlemen, we do live in exciting times. And as incredible as the things Bob is talking about may seem to be, I believe that there's a very real possibility that the decision has already been made to attack Iran. And if you see what's going on throughout the rest of the world, certainly you read the Asia Times, they're anticipating an attack. I mean, you read the things that are coming out of Russia, you read the things that are coming out of Israel, out of all of these countries in the Middle East. Everybody's anticipating an attack on Iran, and the American people are much more concerned about who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, that's what our country has come to, and they are going to pay dearly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, make your plans. Hope and pray that what Bob is saying and what I'm saying are wrong, but start making your plans. Start laying in your food supplies and your Berkey water supplies and your water containers. We actually carry water containers and water pumps for big barrels. We've got all of the things, or so many of the things that you need here at Radio Liberty. And of course, believe me, anything that comes, profit that's made, it simply goes to pay for our broadcast. So if you do get them through us, why, you'll be helping us continue getting the information out you're not going to get elsewhere. But all of the signs of the times are there. And then, of course, simply from a purely scriptural point of view, if you believe that God is just, he is going to bring his vengeance on this country. And he may be even using George Bush to bring that about. Well, what do you think would happen to the market should we get into a war with Iran? Do you think it would sort of drop like the World Trade Center?
Yes. I think that the Dow would probably drop down to 7,200 for starters. And I think the bonds would drop, and the yields, of course, would go sky high. And I believe that the housing market would take a terrible jump, and so would the economy. And quite frankly, as stores of value, the only thing that's left is gold and silver. And it all would all depend on whether we continue to have large inflation, whether silver would participate. And I think commodity prices would probably hold their own as a store of value. But if inflation continued, commodity prices as well as silver would go up. In inflationary environment, gold would go up, but in a deflationary environment, gold would at least hold its own, whereas all other things probably wouldn't, and in a big way. If you go back to the 30s, most things fell between 60% and 90%, and gold did not. And the gold stocks went crazy. Homestake went from $6 a share to $636 a share.
Do you anticipate then that Agnico Eagle and a couple of those standard gold stocks would perform fairly well?
Well, you know, I've been through the market since 1960, and it's my forte. And during the boom in 1980, we had 150 times earnings. So if a stock is making $2 and they're a producer and it's a good quality stock, there's no reason why it can't sell at $300. Simple as that.
But then, of course, there's no relationship between the price and the earnings. What you're just saying is that, you know, it's going to run up purely on the basis of speculation.
No, the price of gold will be going up at the same time.
I see, okay.
And for every $20 that gold goes up, most firms will make a dollar a share more. And so if you go up $1,000, you get $5 a share in increased earnings. And let's say they're making a dollar now, that's $6. Six times, 150 times earnings would be $900 a share.
Well, it's going to be an exciting
only,
time.
That's only at about $1,700 an ounce. I mean, gold could go to $4,000 or $5,000.
Well, I think that we live in very uncertain times. I think that gold and silver, as I've said many times before, are like the canary in the mine shaft. And you watch the canary. And when the canary drops over, why, you better get out of the mine shaft. And when the price of gold and silver starts to go up, you know something big is afoot. Would that be a fair statement, Bob?
Absolutely, especially when you've had central banks trying to, and particularly the U.S. Federal Reserve, trying to suppress the price. Once this thing goes, it'll boomerang. I guess that's not a good word. It's like two people on a seesaw, and one of them decides to get off, and the other one gets catapulted through the air, whatever the case is. And it's just like a loaded spring.
Bob, let's get your website out here. I got so interested in talking. Let's get your website out so people can get the forecaster.
Sure. You can get an introductory copy free by calling toll-free to 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody, because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, if you have not started making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, why, you really need to. We've sent out, hundreds of our food catalogs for dried long-term storage foods, and it's amazing how few people really want to make that final commitment to do something. I mean, you get food for yourself and your family for, 3 months, 6 months, a year, for a couple of people for a year. And it's not that terribly expensive, and it's good food. So if you really make a decision now, start making the preparations with their water container, great big barrels, certainly their pumps for those. And we don't get much of any profit on it, but we offer those because we want you to have those things on hand. And then, of course, we hope that many of you want to start laying in a supply of vitamins and minerals and the things that you really need. And of course, if you get our health catalog, you'll see the things that Barbara and I take and, the things that you really should have on hand. And certainly things like Alibiotic, which is a combination of herbs, and oil of oregano and things of that sort. And certainly vitamin D is a wonderful, wonderful thing as far as controlling the immune response to infections. If there were unleashed upon America some sort of a bird flu, you'd certainly want to have large doses of vitamin D on hand. And so many things. You listen to our interviews with Bill Saudi and the others, and you can begin to get a grasp of what's going on. So we hope many of you will commit yourself and act right now. If you'd like to get our health catalog or our long-term food catalog or just our regular catalog, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Another thing, of course, we hope that a few of you out there will think very positively about helping us to republish Dr. Dennis Cuddy's wonderful book, Secret Records Revealed. You can get a full case of his books for $149.95. That's pre-publication, less than a third of the actual price of the book, and you can sell them, you can do whatever you want to with them, but we need to get this book back in print because it really contains so much information you can utilize to convince other people of what's going on, and it won't be billed until we're ready to actually go to press with it. So if you'd like to help us get Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Secret Records Revealed, almost 300 pages with an index and updated, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand what's really going on, we have a great new four-tape set, Why the Buildings Came Down. Another four tapes, What Happened on 9-1-1. Go to my website and pull down the August, September, October, November, and December newsletters. You need to have that information, and you need to help us get it to other people. Because, of course, we got into the war in the Middle East because of what happened on 9-1-1. And if we could ever convince the American people it was all a lie, then, of course, maybe, just maybe, we could save America. Our job, though, is to do our best, and we're in a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization, because, you see, there really are satanic organizations and secret societies out there. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the new book we're carrying, Satanic Crimes. You need to get the DVD, Rape of the Soul, or The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, going into the secret societies that were there at the time of Elizabethan England, and, of course, are still operating in America today in our intelligence agencies. In fact, Dr. D, who was involved with the British Secret Service during the reign of Queen Elizabeth, used to sign his letters 007. That's where Ian Fleming got the idea for James Bond, 007. There's so much information out there that's in the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and help us get the word out. Those of you out there in the listening audience know there's a problem. We have the tools. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and you can get our book in bulk if you'd like to at a reduced price. And then, of course, learn how to talk to others, ask them questions. How do they feel about going to war with Iran? How do they feel about, the very real possibility of a collapse of our economic system? What would happen to their savings? Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty and listen as much as you can.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And well, our special guest this afternoon is Mr. Richard Vigory, and ever since I can remember, why, he's been one of the leaders of the conservative movement, and he's written a book recently about conservatives betrayed. And, of course, most of the conservatives in the country, most of the Christians, most of the political activists were thrilled when we got George Bush elected in the year 2000, and he was going to do all the right things and carry out Republican concepts of cutting taxes and cutting back on big government and of course, addressing the moral issues of our time, abortion, the breakdown of the family, the increasing immorality, what the Supreme Court has done as far as prayer and God, and all of these things are issues that are very close to the heart of conservatives. But as the months and years went by, it became very obvious that the administration seemed to have a much different agenda. And with that as a background, Mr. Vigory, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Stan. Always.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you see going on? I mean, where is the leadership of the conservative movement, and what can those of us who value our freedom and want to preserve this nation do?
Well, Stan, that's the beginning and the end almost of anything talking about the conservative movement these days is the need for new leaders. And I was just reading a little while ago article in this week's Human Events by Ken Blackwell, the recently defeated Republican candidate for governor in Ohio, talking about the need for new leaders in the conservative movement. And I feel, in some ways, conservatives are like the biblical Jews who had to wander through the desert for 40 years until that generation of corrupt and immoral leaders had passed away. And we've been in the wilderness for a lot longer than 40 years, and hopefully the Lord will let us out here and send us a political savior. But we are led, quite frankly, the Republican Party is, by, I think, basically immoral, corrupt people. And I use the word a little bit different maybe than most people do. They think of something that's immoral and corrupt, somebody who's violated a law. And quite frankly, those who did that, people like Bob Ney, Duke Cunningham, Jack Abramoff, and others have been punished, and they, quite frankly, will have almost no impact on our children, our grandchildren's life. But the legal theft of the Republicans, Bob DeLay, George Bush, Denny Hastert, Bill Frist, taking trillions of dollars that will belong to our children, our grandchildren, and spending it for the sole immoral, in my opinion, corrupt purpose of holding on to power. Now, that is a serious problem. Just one piece of legislation, Stan, a few years ago, prescription drug benefit. they passed to added $8.1 trillion of debt onto the backs of our children and grandchildren for the sole purpose of just, you know, winning the next election, taking the senior vote off the table. That's corrupt and that's immoral. So we just have to recognize we are very, very poorly led and we do need new leadership. And I don't see it on the horizon there right now. There's always promise that this congressman or that governor could come to our rescue down the road.
Hold
that,
hold that thought
right now.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Richard Vigory. He's been around in this conservative movement about as long as I have, or about the same age, but I've been hearing about Richard for many years and only recently had an opportunity to meet him back in Washington, D.C. He's written a book about conservatives betrayed, and he shares my concern that there is no leadership in the conservative movement. There is no leadership in the Christian movement, and so many of our Christian leaders are simply going along with the corrupt policies of the politicians in Washington, D.C., because they've been stroked and encouraged, and as we've talked about in Mr. David Koo's book, recently about what really goes on in the White House and the way that the people there in the White House, of course, spawn over the conservative Christian leaders when they're there and then ridicule and laugh at them when they're not there. Do you think that sort of thing really goes on? Do you think that the politicians in the White House have been using the Christians?
Oh, Stan, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that out because I share those thoughts completely, that too many of our friends, people that you and I know, have drunk the Republican Kool-Aid. And, you know, and having their phone calls returned, having some high-ranking Republican official, congressman, senator, come to their next fundraiser, their next meeting, is very, very important to us. I was reading something from a major Christian conservative leader today, who's a dear friend of mine, was talking about how much he liked the President's State of the Union message. Well, it was a disaster, the State of the Union message. He just basically surrendered the entire domestic agenda to the Democrats and basically said, you know, if you just kind of cut me a little slack on the foreign policy, you can pretty much do what you want on the domestic side.
And I think it was the most amazing thing where he said, we were not going to increase the taxes, we were going to increase spending, and we were going to balance the budget.
Yes, yes.
There is no way, ladies and gentlemen, that that can be done.
No.
And that's why everybody got up and applauded. They thought, oh boy, the people across America are probably going to believe that we can increase spending, cut taxes, and then, of course, go ahead and balance the budget. But and they simply, it wasn't true.
Dan, and it goes more than just having kind of sold out to the Republican Party and signed on for whatever they come up with there and be silent. In fact, I sent a mailing out to conservative leaders throughout the country yesterday urging them not to be silent.
Hold that thought. I'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Richard Vigory, who's written a book entitled Conservatives Betrayed, and he's certainly been on the front lines of this battle as long as I have, probably even longer, and he had sent a message out, an email out yesterday, to people all across America, say, don't sit back and be silent, don't simply blindly follow the Republican leadership, because it's leading us into disaster. And of course, earlier he had pointed out that many of the leaders of the Republican Party, Senator Frist, Denny Hassett, the others, of course, were passing all sorts of legislation. The Medicare drug bill, which was going to increase, what was it, $8 trillion or something?
Yep. $8.1
trillion. $8.1 trillion that our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will be paying. All of this liberal legislation, the No Child Left Behind, that was the Republican bill. That was Ted Kennedy's bill, and Ted couldn't get it through, so George got it through for Ted Kennedy. President Bush got it through for Ted Kennedy. Because Democrats never could have gotten much of this socialist legislation through, and it almost looks like there's not an awful lot of difference at the top between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well, as a politician that you and I remember from down south years ago said George Wallace, there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between them. And really, these days, it's more so than ever. I read recently someone said there are two parties in Washington, and one's called the In Party, and the other's the Out Party. And that's really basically the difference. One's out of power and wants to get in, and the other's in there, and they want to hold on to power. And other than that, there's not too much that differentiate them. You know, going back to the fact that we need new Christian leaders, it's something I feel very strongly about in my book that we're talking about today, Stan, Conservatives Betrayed. I talk about how the many of the problems that we have are caused by lack of religious leaders. And that's true of the Protestants, the Catholics, the Jews. They just aren't telling the people out there what they need to hear. People need to hear how to live their life. And if you're doing A, B, and C, stop doing it. And if you're not doing X, Y, and Z, then start doing it. I'm a Catholic, and I go to Mass about half of the Sundays in a church somewhere in the country, if not overseas, and I just never, almost never, hear of a sermon that talks about, you know, things that we are involved in our life, in our communities, that we ought to be doing different. When do you hear people talking on television or in the churches about divorce, sex outside of marriage? That's one of my pet peeves. My own faith, the Catholic priests talk about abortion all the time, and I appreciate that and I applaud that, but where do they think abortions come from? It's people having sex outside of marriage, and that's 97-98% of all abortions, and they don't talk about the people need to get their life together.
Well,
so we just are starving for leadership, Stan.
Well, you know, when I graduated from high school, there might be one girl who was pregnant in the entire class, you know. Today, I mean, some high schools, 20 or 30% of the girls are pregnant out of wedlock. I mean, here in the United States today, 70 or 75% of black children and 25% of white children are born out of wedlock. And nobody wants to stand up and say, this is wrong, it's immoral. We used to call it, you know, living in sin. And
yep.
And now it's glorified on television, in the movies, and the world is changing. And I don't think it's happening just by accident.
No, you know, and what we're saying is our leaders, whether political leaders or religious leaders, business leaders, in many, many ways, Stan, they're failing us. They're failing the people. And people are beginning to get very unhappy. They don't know quite what's happening, but there is a crowd, it seems to me, beginning to be formed out there that's just very unhappy with politics, business as usual, the organized religion community, business community, sports, the institutions that you know, have served us well these days for, you know, centuries, are falling into disrepute and disrepair. And at some point, somebody's going to come along, perhaps outside of the two major parties, and offer some leadership to the people. And I think they might respond very favorably, because they've just given up on the two parties. The Republicans took a beating this last election, but it wasn't because the Democrats had any program that the people liked. They just wanted to fire the Republicans. Next time around, they may want to fire the Democrats.
But, of course, it would be so easy today for some man to come along who is a true demagogue and say everything that people want to hear and point out all the problems in our society. But, of course, if people are looking for a leader and quite willing to follow, why, of course, they could be led by somebody who would lead, even like the Pied Piper, you know, Hamlet, right, to the destruction of our society. You have to really have people themselves understand what freedom is about. They have to have a solid moral foundation for their own lives before they can hope to live as free people in a free society, for as John Adams had said so well, our form of government was made for a moral and religious people. It would not suffice for any other.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful statement. I hear it periodically, and I can't hear it enough. That's very true.
Well, do you have any suggestions at all? Because you were right back there in the very belly of the beast there in Washington, D.C., and it must be terribly frustrating for you.
It is. Dan, in my lifetime, the conservatives have taken over the Republican Party three times, and three times we lost it. First time was in 1964 with Barry Goldwater, and then again in 1980 with Ronald Reagan, and then 1994 with the Gingrich Revolution, and we had a pretty good revolution going at that time for about a year until Gingrich went eyeball to eyeball with Clinton on shutting down the government and lost and blinked, and at that point the conservative revolution was over. But, you know, I never give up. We're called to be faithful. We're not called to be successful. And I just, I'm 73, Stan, and I will spend about 13, 14 hours today working on trying to relaunch the conservative movement, get things going here. Never give up, never lose heart, but it gets a little discouraging at times, but only for a short period of time. But let me just say this, that you don't, wherever you are right now, you have opportunities that were unavailable to the average person 20 years ago, much less 30, 50 years ago, because of talk radio, because of the internet, because of the new and alternative media. Working men and women, average middle-class person, has an ability to impact events that was unthinkable dozen or three dozen years ago. Last week, the conservatives got together and defeated the Democrats' attempt to silence them. The Democrats in the Senate tried to pass a piece of legislation that would have, in essence, shut down people who communicated with 500 or more people, like bloggers do all the time, yourself on the radio, and we were able to defeat that. And it happened because people at the grassroots made phone calls, wrote letters, sent emails, and just really got activated. So we have an opportunity at the grassroots level now to impact events that were unthinkable in times gone past.
Oh, no, of course, that was SB1, and that was some of the Amendment 220 that did pass, that took out the part that certainly would have markedly limited even what I would be able to say here on the radio, and it would influence every conservative organization. It was really a conspiracy and a restraint of free speech. Fortunately, it was defeated in the Senate bill. By then, of course, the legislation will go to the House, and there really are people who really don't want any opposition, who would use the power of government to silence those who are trying to let the American people even know how their duly elected representatives are voting.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing, Stan? The people were so angry and frustrated at what's been happening in Congress with the sex scandals, the corruption, and the immorality. So what's the Democrats' response? Is to silence the congressional critics. It's not to clean up their own act and get, you know, and realize that, hey, we are the problem. Their response was, well, we're going to silence our critics. I mean, what an outrage. It just never ceases to amaze me, the hubris that these politicians participate in.
Whatever happened to the congressman, I think his name was Jefferson, and he actually took a $100,000 bribe. They have him on four video cameras taken. I think they found the most of the money hidden in the refrigerator at his home.
Yeah.
But he's actually back there still serving in Congress.
He's in Congress voting, and, the wheels of justice grind slowly. They do grind pretty finely, but they do grind slowly. So for the time being, he's, drawing his pay and putting money away for his retirement that we're going to help finance, but he's still in Congress, and I think that justice will be done there, but it takes some time, unfortunately.
Well, my understanding is that Congressman Duke Cunningham, who I think was given 8 to 10 years in prison for taking frank bribes, he's still drawing his pension even in prison.
Yep. But as bad as that is, Stan, I would urge the people to think about, that's not the worst thing that's happened. Just the thing what we were just talking about, where Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi tries to silence their critics and just act as if the First Amendment doesn't exist. I mean, we have a right to petition our government. And they want to just abolish the Constitution with a 51% vote in Congress.
Well, I think it was really so exciting that this did go down with a sizable majority on the good side. And it shows that there really are still good congressmen there. And if they're not good congressmen, at least they're concerned congressmen, because a lot of them aren't dedicated to the right or the left. They're just dedicated to staying there. And apparently there was a tremendous outflow of emails and calls and faxes to the congressmen. And when that issue came before the floor, they took that out of the legislation. SB1 did pass, but the bad part that would have certainly silenced people like Richard and myself was deleted. So everything isn't bad. Everything isn't doom and gloom. What we've got to do is hang in there, know what we believe in, and try to preserve America.
You're exactly right, Stan.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Richard Vigory, and certainly he's been involved there on the front lines of this battle for a long period of time. Well, you know, for the average individual out there, I mean, who can they trust, though, to tell them which issues we should be involved in? Because there are so many issues. There are the gun rights issues. There's the efforts to silence this. This is the pro-life issue there. There's the family values issue. There's the homosexuals who want to get hate speech laws passed. We are being attacked on all sides.
Absolutely, Stan, but again, that there is good news. Just like you pointed out, we had that victory last week, and by the way, for the first time in my recent memory, 100% of all conservative leaders, organizations, groups, bloggers, talk show hosts were all supportive of this, and we came together in a united way, which I haven't seen in quite some time, so that was very exciting. But the good news, Stan, in terms of where people can get news and information, where can they get the truth? I wrote a book about 2.5-3 years ago called America's Right Turn: How Conservatives Use New and Alternative Media to Take Power. And I was fortunate many years ago, back in the 60s and the 70s, to pioneer political ideological direct mail. Because when I got involved in politics in the late 50s, early 60s, we didn't have access to the microphones of this country. We couldn't get our message past the blockage of CBS's monopoly on the news and New York Times and Time Magazine, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times. But using direct mail, we went right around that blockage, right into people's homes. And later, we followed that with talk radio, cable television, the Internet. So they don't have that monopoly that they used to have on the news. It used to be Walter Cronkite would come down to his office at CBS, put down his coffee cup, pick up his New York Times, and an hour later, he and he alone had decided what America would be told was the important news of the day. That day is gone forever. I think about 50% of the American people today get their primary news and information from the new and alternative media, from people like you, talk radio, and the Internet. It's so exciting to see that there's not a filter on the news. And give people enough news, give them the truth, and they will make the right decision, invariably. And I think in the coming years, that number is going to go from 50% to 60% to 70%. The TV networks are dinosaurs, and they're just losing share of market constantly, and so I think that the truth is going to be easier to get out than it has been for some time.
Well, I really think you're absolutely right, and really I feel such a privilege to have a small voice, but it is a voice that's heard across America, and there's so many ways we have of reaching people. We have shortwave, and we have a number of shortwave stations, so the price is not prohibitive today as it was a decade ago. We have the Internet. And now, of course, we're going to, within a few months, you're going to be able to listen to our programs on your cell phone if you want to. And then we, of course, have the satellite, and we get inexpensive satellite receivers to pull it down. And then many of my friends are on multiple radio stations across America, as are we. And, of course, people will be just surfing the dial and hear a voice that maybe something they say rings true. Never before in my lifetime have we had the access to the people that we have right now, and hang right on there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Mr. Richard Vigory, and he was making the point that certainly everything is changing, and although there's a lot of reason for doom and gloom, there's a lot of reason for optimism. And we now have the alternative media. We have programs such as mine, and we have people on shortwave. We have people on the internet. We have people, on the certainly on satellite. We have people on radio stations buying time across America. And either the other side is buying up the radio stations as fast as they can, and then people are opening little private, almost pirate radio stations and targeting certain specific cities, so people can hear the truth. And I think the fact that despite all the propaganda that was put out before this last election, that the people and many good Republicans voted for Democrats because they did not support the war. And I think the fact that the president's rating, is really a somewhere down around 30% reflects the fact that people are listening and they have a lot of questions. So really, we have an opportunity to reach people we never did before. And Mr. Vigory's point was very clear. Many people are no longer believing what they see on television. They're not believing everything they hear from Rush Limbaugh. And they're beginning to question. So we really are having more of an impact more than ever before. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. As we've said recently here in this broadcast, that literally tens of thousands of people at the grassroots level contacted their senators, we defeated legislation that the new Democrat majority in the Senate really, really wanted, and we were able to defeat that. And it happened entirely because of the grassroots stand. And I don't think that the big talk show people, the Sean Hannitys, the Rush Limbaughs, I don't think they talked about this. And I think this was just people like yourself at the grassroots level, the bloggers out there, that turned this whole thing around. So the people have an enormous amount of power if they will just focus that and work in unison. And
there has to be a certain amount of coordination. And I know within mother circles I work with, and I certainly have my friends in talk radio were actually sending me regular internet emails and saying, this is the issue, this is who to call. And I really think that a lot of little guys coordinating this had a tremendous impact. And so I would suggest to people that they start listening to alternative radio. Find out the people you can really trust on the internet. And I would suggest websites like WorldNet Daily. I think they do an excellent job. And newswithviews.com. They're excellent sources of daily essays. And, WorldNet Daily has 5 million hits a day.
Wow.
News with Views has 1 million hits a day, and the Raiders news service is maybe only 100,000 so far, but I expect it's going to be up there before it very long. So you have to know who you can trust out there too, because there is a lot of frank disinformation and lies being put up there to get you off on the side tracks, or trying to convince you it's this group or that group or this religion or that religion that's behind all the troubles of the world. Don't let them dissuade you. Hold to your principles and learn who you can trust.
Yeah, very true.
How do you feel about the candidacy of Ron Paul in the Republican field?
Well, I had an important role to play when Ron Paul decided to leave the medical practice and run for Congress in 1976, in a special election, and we raised a lot of money for him and did a lot of voter mailings and advertising for him. And so I've known Ron for well over 20 years and very proud of our association. He's a wonderful man. I agree with him on the vast, vast majority of the issues. Unfortunately, as a congressman, and he has not had a high profile out there, and it's the last time America elected a congressman, a person who'd only served in the House, not a governor or senator or been a general, was Abraham Lincoln. So he's got an uphill road there. But right now, my advice, Stan, is, and a number of conservatives are saying this now. I've saw one today, and Don Wildman, the American Family Association, has been talking about this as well as others, that conservatives should hold their fire right now. We should not rush out, certainly, and support any of the top-tier people, that Romney, McCain, Giuliani. None of these people should be supported by conservatives, because right now, none of them deserve our support. And let's have a bidding contest. Let them come to us and tell us, what they're going to do for conservatives. I don't think we ought to rush out there and support these people right now.
Well, Richard, I was part of this group of conservative Christians, about 25, that picked George Bush for the presidency back in 1999. And I will tell you, because John Stormer and I were the only two people in that group that didn't embrace him. So I don't know. And George Bush said everything that we wanted to hear. So, you know, people will say one thing to get your vote, but when the push comes to shove, what do they really believe in? Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Richard Piggery, and of course we're talking about what's going on politically in America today and what's happening really indirectly spiritually in America today. And of course we were simply talking about, you know, the politicians, and we should see maybe perhaps what John McCain will say to us, or maybe what he'll offer us, or what Mayor Giuliani will say, or what he'll tell us he's going to do for us, or certainly what so many of the people now who are going to be running on the Republican ticket. But can we really believe any of them? Won't they say what we want to hear, and then when they get in power, do just what they want to do?
Absolutely, Stan. And so there, I'm glad you raised that question, because what we need to do is put these people through my test, because I've once, twice a week, I tell conservative leaders in meetings, you know, they will tell us anything. They will all lie. They'll tell us anything that they think we want to hear. But there are two tests that we can put these people to see, you know, how they're likely to behave if they become president. Number one is the Goldwater-Reagan test. And Goldwater, long before he ever dreamed of running for the White House in the 1950s, he would regularly criticize Eisenhower and the Republican leaders in the Congress for building a bigger government. In 1960, he went on the floor of the Senate and said, Eisenhower is running a dime store New Deal. You know, and he's not a candidate for president, but he's standing up speaking truth to power. And Reagan did the same thing with Ford. Where is a McCain or Giuliani or Romney that will stand up and say, President Bush, I respectfully disagree with you on spending all of this money or on this issue or that issue. The fact that you didn't avoid any mention of social issues in your State of the Union message, that's wrong. Here's how I would have done it. I don't hear or see any of that. And if they're not going to do that now, Stan, when they get to the White House, they're not going to conduct themselves as a conservative if they won't criticize a liberal Republican today. But here is also a very important test. Tell me who you walk with, and I'll tell you who you are. Ronald Reagan, in the 60s, he walked with us. I could go to meetings back then, or receptions and dinners, and bump into him. It's not that he was at the head table. He was out with us, walking with us and talking with us. And I looked around, I could see my friend Lynn Nofsinger, or Ed Meese was there, or Marty Anderson, or Judge Clark. He had us all around him. Which of these major candidates has one single conservative around him?
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Richard Piggery. We're talking about really, as we see, the kicking off of the presidential run next year. I mean, and who do we have? Certainly, on the Democratic Party, we've got Hillary, and we've got Mr. Obama, Senator Obama, and we've got Senator John Edwards. And on the Republican side, we've got a lot of people there, and they got nice smiles. But the question is, what do they really stand for? And can you trust people who say one thing? Well, what do they really feel and what do they believe? And Richard points out is well taken. I mean, what have they done in the past? Have they been willing to stand up for what was right in the past? Or now are they going to say everything that, of course, we want to hear? But, of course, that's not what they really believe. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But before we go on, Richard, do you have a telephone number, website, any information you'd like to get out to our listeners?
Absolutely. One of the things I'm doing, Stan, is trying to build a headquarters on the Internet for conservatives. We need a headquarters. We've got good websites, but we don't have anything devoted to building the conservative movement, and I'm in the process of doing that. But in the meantime, in the next, it'll take a month or two before that'll happen, but you can go to conservativesbetrayed.com.
That's the title of your book, of course.
That's the title of my book, Conservatives Betrayed, and they can buy that, by the way, on an internet bookstore site or in their local bookstore, or they can go to conservativesbetrayed.com, and we have it there about as cheap as you're going to find it anywhere. But you can also sign up for to be involved in the relaunch of the conservative movement. And we're going to go out there and talk in terms of a third force, not a third party, but a third force, where we're going to pull the Democrats and the Republicans to the conservative side. I think conservatives made a serious mistake in this last election by becoming an appendage of the Republican Party. And I think we have to act independent. And at this site, conservativesbetrayed.com, we set out how we can do that and how we, as conservatives, can be effective in influencing both the Republicans and the Democrats.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Mike calling, and once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'd like to know what you think about what has been going on with our country since the Republicans took over control, certainly of our country. Well, in 1994, they took control of the House of Representatives. A couple of years after that, they took control of the Senate. And, of course, they made all sorts of promises. Oh, my goodness, we're going to put a stop to abortion. We're going to get God and prayer back into our schools. We're going to solve all the problems. And all they did, of course, was pay token allegiance to these things. But when push came to shove, they absolutely refused to do anything. And then they said, well, but wait till we get, of course, the Republicans into the presidency, and they will control the House, and we'll control the Senate. And then everything's going to be fine, because then, we don't have to worry about the president veto of these things, and still nothing happens. So let's go to Mike here, and we'd like to know what you think. Do you think we've been had? Is it simply we don't have people of integrity? And what about the spiritual aspect of what's going on? Certainly, I think most people want to be free. I'm sure most people in Russia want to be free. I'm sure most people in Iran want to be free, and most people in Iraq want to be free. But people don't understand what freedom is, or what it involves, or the high price that they have to pay for freedom, and the high price that our founding fathers and our forefathers paid to give us the freedom we enjoy today, which most people take for granted and is rapidly being lost. Well, Mike, did you have a question for our guest?
Well, I want to answer your question. Yes, we've been had. And what I called in about was how many times have we been had, say, in the last 30 years? How many presidents? There's been, maybe a half a dozen. It's been, I probably want to go back, Carter, where the church or Christian community, Christian conservative community, has thought that we finally had our man in there. And they get fooled every time.
All right, I suppose you're really talking about the fact that we're always told if we could only get control of the Supreme Court, and yet 7 of the 9 Supreme Court justices who consistently voted the wrong way were nominated by Republican presidents. How would you respond to Mike's concern that we get the Republicans in, and even so-called very, very good Republicans, and they always just, oh, shucks, we just made a mistake, and we put a Sandra Day O'Connor or some other flaming liberal onto the Supreme Court, but we had no idea she was a flaming liberal. How could they make such foolish mistakes time after time after time after time?
Because they're not as serious as Mike and you and I are. I mean, we really believe these things, and unfortunately, too many of these politicians don't really believe what they're saying. That's why I talk about in the book "Conservatives Betrayed," Stan, that we need to think third force. That we have got to no longer think of ourselves as Republicans, but maybe as a Reagan conservative or just conservative first. And go out there and support principled conservative organizations, principled conservative leaders, such as Ron Paul that you just talked about, Tom Tancredo, and others out there. Support these people and support conservative organizations, support conservatives who are going to run against these Republican leaders who have betrayed us. But when the Democrats do something that deserves applause, applaud them. As I put out a press release a week or two ago applauding Nancy Pelosi for doing away with earmarks. I mean, they've really, they had Republicans pass, you know, thousands of earmarks, and they've embargoed them. And that's good. I mean, she may be doing it for political purposes. It doesn't matter. The end result is the same. So we've not been served well by becoming an appendage of the Republican Party. As the TV psychiatrist says, Dr. Phil, how's that working for you, conservatives? You know? And I think that Mike is right. We've been had our heart broken more times than I like to remember and think about. And let's just operate as conservatives and look for principled conservatives. And there's no need to go out there and talk about a McCain or a Giuliani now or a Romney. They'll betray us just like George Bush has.
All right, fine. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I want to ask your guest if he knows anything about the Fellowship Foundation in Washington, D.C.
I'm sorry, which foundation?
It's called the Fellowship Foundation or the Family.
No, but...
It's very prominent. They actually organize the National Prayer Breakfast.
Oh, yes. Well, it's a wonderful group, and they do good things as far as I know, yes.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much, and let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. And while we're all, as I am, reveling in the prospects of the Ron Paul candidacy, into which I wanted to throw in at some minor surprises I've heard, he's not only hugely popular with the knowledgeable real Republicans and the paleo-constitutional base, as well as with the populace, but the minor surprise being his popularity, which you alluded to a bit, with the, even with the liberals and Democrats as well.
Well, I think the one thing about Ron Paul is a man of principle.
Absolutely.
And while I would like to dwell on the deliciousness that we're at some unique juncture where Ron Paul could pull off the nomination in the election at this time, but we are, of course, not deluding ourselves that do all as we can to see that that happens, even if we succeed there in installing Paul in office, while it would be an important part, it's not yet better than 10 or 20% to what would be required for both the short and the long haul.
Okay, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, now, that is not to be delivered from the delusion that there can be any shortcut substitute for a threshold of mass discrediting of the whole stinking edifice of the socialisms upon which the plutocracy depends to pretend to take care of us, which is really a means of controlling the sheeple.
All right, I think the important thing is that people understand the principles of freedom, and you cannot have a free society in a socialist society, because any society that can provide whatever you need has to be able to take whatever you have.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Roger.
Dan, let me comment on what Roger said in this context. That he was saying that it'd be difficult for Ron Paul to get more than a certain percent, and today that's true. So that's why I don't put a lot of emphasis on the next election. I'm not forfeiting it. I'm not saying we should abandon it, but we shouldn't put all our eggs in that basket. Conservatives have been as successful as we have for the 45 years that I've been involved in because we have approached the process as a marathon, not as a sprint. And we need to go back now to basics, to first principles. We need to go out there and rebuild the conservative movement. And like the movie says, build it and they will come. So we have to build the infrastructure, have the organizations, the support, the grassroots activists out there, that when the next Ronald Reagan comes along to take us into the political promised land, that we will have the ability to support them at a level that will lead to success. But let's just go out there and build our own organizations now. And if we feel like we should support this presidential candidate or another who is a principal conservative, fine. But mostly let's keep our eye on a long process here. This is a marathon, not a sprint.
But of course, the problem we have is that, I mean, traditionally, we believed in limiting the power of government and limiting the size of government and limiting government spending. And the great tragedy is we get a so-called principled conservative in, like Ronald Reagan, the largest budget deficits we've ever seen, the most massive expansion of government control and government control of education, and we say one thing, but we criticize Jimmy Carter for increasing the national debt $200 billion in 4 years. Under the Republicans, we got $200 billion every year that the Republicans controlled the House, pardon me, controlled the presidency from 1980 to 1988. Of course, really all the way up to 1992, although it was probably better under George Bush. But so when one side we say we're against deficit spending, and then we turn around and do deficit spending.
Dan, let me give you my spin on that. You're exactly right. When I was a young Republican, I used to be chairman of Harris County, Houston, Young Republicans. I'd go down to Republican headquarters and hear my seniors talk about balanced budget, reducing the size of government, abolishing this government program, that one. I said, yeah, that sounds good. And then I heard that in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s. You know, Newt Gingrich, they, you know, friends, they used to all talk like that. Then January 2001, when they finally had both the House and the Senate and the White House, it was like, in unison, the Republican leader said, just kidding. We didn't really mean it. What we meant was we didn't want the Democrats spending the money. But now that we have the money, it's off to the races. As Lord Acton said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when the Republicans got absolute power, they became absolutely corrupt.
Lastly, gentlemen, is in just 1 week, January 31st, Navy Chaplain Klingenschmidt is scheduled to be fired from the Navy for praying and preaching in Jesus' name. If you care to give out the toll-free numbers, Dr. Stan, before you leave the show.
Go ahead, we'll put them out for you, Roger.
Okay, so the Capitol Hill switchboard, and they are 877-851-6437. The second one is 800-450-8293. To repeat, 877-851-6437 and 800-450-8293. I think it's certainly possible if we call our senators and representatives that we can head off the firing of Navy Chaplain Captain Gordon James Klingenschmidt. His website is www.persuade.tv.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so much, Roger. I really think it's such a tragic situation when, of course, we have a Christian administration that, of course, will see that a naval chaplain is discharged from the service for praying in the name of Jesus. But of course, if a Muslim chaplain would pray in the name of Muhammad, why, we wouldn't do anything, because, after all, we have to learn to be tolerant.
Exactly. Diversity.
Right.
The leaders in this country, many of them, the establishment, has declared war on people of faith, Christians, Orthodox Jews, and for them, until recently, we've just kind of taken it, Stan. We just have let them silence us. I see some beginning of an effort to resist the war on Christians and Christianity, but it's too little, and I hope it's not too late.
Well, I really wonder, you know, when we see this organized effort to take God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and the nativity scenes and the crosses down on public property, somebody hates Christianity. And the fact that the Supreme Court, predominantly appointed by Republican presidents, has gone right along with that, I think, is a frightening thing. It could have been reversed at any time, and certainly it could have been reversed very readily when the Republicans controlled both the House and the Senate and the presidency by simply passing a law and tacking something on there from Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, saying the Supreme Court and nobody else can interfere with this, and they refused to do it.
Yep. And the reason we have, there was a time in 1993 when Bill Clinton became president, 9 of the Supreme Court justices had been appointed by Republicans. And the reason that happens, among others, Stan, is the silence of conservatives. Again, I put out a letter to conservative leaders yesterday saying, stop your silence. It's time that when the president gives an outrageous State of the Union speech accommodating the Democrats on public policy issues. We can no longer be silent. And we get these bad court appointments because we are silent. The president tried to give us an appointment of Harriet Myers, a person we knew almost nothing about, and most of the conservatives in this country spoke up, and the president had to back down. He didn't like to. He was very upset that he would not be given the appointment that he wanted. But what an outrage that those people like you and I, who have spent our entire adult life trying to get the right people on the court, that he gives us a cipher, somebody that we know nothing about. Just an outrage. And it's just time that conservatives, Christians, no longer remain silent.
But of course, now that we have supposedly a conservative court, we get the Kelo decision, which of course says it's perfectly all right to take away private property as long as it's done by the local community in the name of the common good. So, you know, I just hope that the Supreme Court is as conservative as we've been led to believe. Well, our guest this evening has been Richard Vickery. Would you like to get their website out there one more time so our listener can get through it?
The book that we've been talking about, Conservatives Betrayed, How George W. Bush and Other Big Government Republicans Hijacked the Conservative Cause, you can buy it at our website, conservativesbetrayed.com, and also sign up to be involved and active in the relaunching of the conservative movement. And this is going to be a headquarters for the relaunch of the movement here. And I'm optimistic that we can do it, Stan.
Well, I think all we can do is try. But in the final analysis, as you said, we're not required to win. We're required to try and to do our best. You hang on. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What are the thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners out across America?
Well, gosh, there's so many things, Stan. One of the things that I would mention to the to our listeners is be informed yourself. The Bible tells us to acquire knowledge, and people lose their way so many times because they're not informed, they're not educated. When I'm second generation, Bill Buckley, Russell Kirk, others, Goldwater, we're first generation. People in the first generation, second generation, even third generation conservatives, we were grounded in our principles. We had read the giants, the masters out there. Today's conservatives, I'm afraid, get too much from the pop culture out there. Whatever the newest, hottest, book out there. And I like Ann Coulter, but you've got to go beyond Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. You've got to read the classics, the Russell Kirks and the Bill Buckleys and the Frank Myers, and know what you believe and why you believe it. And you'll be able to help provide the leadership that this cause needs.
Amen to that. Well, I certainly would certainly echo the fact that we need to get back to the fundamentals. We need to understand what conservatism was about.
Exactly.
Really, we need to understand what our founding fathers believed in and why they believed it, and what were the certainly the spiritual forces as well as the political and ideological forces that were at work at the time America was founded. And certainly this goes all the way back to the certainly to ancient Rome, to ancient Greece. Nothing going on today is new. This has all happened many times before, and I think our founding fathers understood why ancient Greece fell and why ancient Rome fell and why democracy doesn't work. Isn't I shudder every time I hear the president talk about wanting to bring democracy to the world, where our founding fathers abhorred democracy. They wanted a republic where men could be free and be ruled by law, not where men would be ruled by the emotions of whoever, you know, was able to get the most votes.
Absolutely. If anybody would like to contact me, Stan, they can do it at rav@conservativesbetrayed.com.
One more time, please.
That's my initials, RAV.
RAV at conservativesbetrayed.com. All right, fine. Yeah.
And we need new leadership, and the people listening to us now, many of them could provide that leadership through blog sites, through being active in their communities, running for office, supporting somebody running for office. We need new leaders, and many of them are listening to us right now, I suspect, Stan.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, our guest has been Richard Vigory, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Incidentally, you can actually listen to Ron Paul every week, and all you have to do is call in the correct telephone number, which is 888-332-1414. That's 888-332-1414. Ron Paul is one of the clearest-thinking people I've known, and I've never seen anything he ever wrote that I disagreed with. So let me recommend you just pick up your telephone. It's a toll-free charge. Call and listen to what he has to say. This time, today, this week, he's talking about what should we be doing in the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. What should our approach be to that situation? I think you'll probably agree with him, as did I. Anyway, that's 888-332-1414. Things are exciting. We really do have an opportunity to reach people across America, indeed across the world, with a message of freedom. And if you don't value freedom, you may very well find out what it's like to live without freedom, because they are actually building concentration camps here in America, refurbishing the old Japanese concentration camps. We recently spent $38 million to refurbish those concentration camps, because we don't want the American people ever to forget how terrible it was to put American citizens in concentration camps. And then, of course, we gave Halliburton $385 million to build new detention camps in America. So why would you want to refurbish the old camps to keep alive this idea how terrible it is to put people in concentration camps and build new ones? Well, of course, you need to get our material, our four-tape set on concentration camps. You really need to get something called the Shocker. It's only, I think it's only probably $8 or $10, but it's very, very short, 15-minute video. Or we hope maybe you'll get the complete concentration camp special. It's got one set of videos, three and a half hours long, another an hour and a half long, a four-tape set, government documents. The plan is there. There is a plan, and you'll actually hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez, longtime chairman of the Banking Committee, saying there is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and round up Americans and put them in concentration camps. And that's the significance, of course, of the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act. You need to get our four-tape set on the Military Commissions Act. The Military Commissions Act would take you through everything in that act. They only passed that last October. Why did they do it at this time? And give the government the ability to have national martial law across America and use military troops on American citizens? You never want to use military troops on American citizens. They're only taught to kill. The police are supposed to police people. The National Guard are the most, but not the military. They're trained killers, ladies and gentlemen. The purpose of the military is to kill people and to destroy things, and they're very good at what they do. Do you really want them turned loose in America? And why would they have suspended the Posse Comitatus Act at this time in history, as we're planning on attacking Iran? And, ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble. And we hope that you will challenge everything we say. Get our material. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, read my August, September, October, November, and December newsletters. Pull them down, read them, reread them, and then we want the documentation. We have it here. Get the books we have, like The Devil's Game, about how the CIA created the radical Islamic movement, has been working for 50 years, bringing us to where we are today. And then, of course, the book See No Evil, written by a CIA agent who tells you what happened, really what happened on the morning of 9/11. And get our pamphlet on Foreknowledge 9/11. But most of all, get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness. Understand that there are spiritual forces at work in the world today. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And most people don't even understand there's a battle going on. These forces have infiltrated our government, our foundations, our educational system, our military. Yes, and even our churches. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And again, our number is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. Correspondent Ian James reports Venezuela's dictator claims to have some good news on the health of Fidel Castro.
It was quite a change from several days ago when Chavez had said that Castro was battling for his life. This time, he said he got good news from Cuba's vice president. He held up a letter that he said was written by Fidel, showed the firm signature, and said that showed, along with what he'd been told, that Fidel Castro is recovering.
Correspondent Shirley Smith reports that the military has a new weapon that is said to be harmless, but makes people feel as if they are going to catch on fire.